Welcome back, friends. Sarah left off talking about having a lively sense of hope with here in the darkness and the coldness of winter, and following in cultivating a life of virtue. So I'm staying with, so we're going to have a more serious look at John 14, 12 to 19. In the part that Jesus says, the works that I do. So the logical question is, what did Jesus do? Followed by, do we do greater works? Do we do greater ones than him? The works of Jesus, so what are they? He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He preached the good news. And he prayed intently. For some reason, a lot of commentaries denote that they don't add that last one. But he most assuredly. But here I am. We're just as bold can be. I just put it in there because he did. He prayed intently. And maybe for some of us, that's the one thing we can put a check mark up by right now, right? So we got to start somewhere. This is our measuring stick. And I'm back with John Paul in the last one. Do not empty the cross of its power. I suggest to us that these different aspects of our Lord is our measuring stick, and we cannot avert our gaze from its demanding standard. So that's the what did he do? The second one is for our own personal reflection. Do we do greater ones than these? And then the third one is, how can we become better equipped to do these works where we can, within our own interiority, see that we're lacking? And that, I propose, is a good Lenten schedule, right? Because, I'll finish this thought and then I'll turn to say, we're soaking in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals to us those areas that we are alike in our blessed Lord and the ways that we fall short. And he's also the vivification within ourselves to do something about that, right? Our Lord says we can do something about it. John Paul says, the cross of Christ has power, right? Don't empty it of its power. So the task for Lent then, to my mind, becomes how do we become better equipped at doing these works of our Lord?
Right. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, in general during Lent, you know, that threefold questioning that you have has me kind of pondering on the, you know, the threefold forms of penance.
We'll be coming to that, exactly.
I was just wondering if there's any way to tie them together. You know, you have prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, right? Because really at the beginning, that knowledge of Christ, you know, how can we be like him if we don't know him, right? And it goes to, you know, Saint Jerome, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. And how can we know whether or not we're quote unquote, you know, vacating the cross of power, of its efficacy or of its power, if we don't really have an authentic awareness of exactly what the cross is, right? What it all encompasses. And I think so frequently we become maybe a little immured to these things around us because they're so constantly there that it's as though, you know, the crucifix hanging on the wall is only noticeable when you take it down and only the shadow remains, right? Suddenly something has been taken from you and now you recognize, you didn't notice it in its presence, but you certainly begin to notice it in its absence a little bit. And I think maybe that's what Lent is a little bit about. It's a little bit about the absences. You know, we take things away so that we can see more clearly. We need to you know, really reintroduce ourselves to Christ, or let him reintroduce himself to us, right? And through that prayer, that element of prayer and meditation, we need to be hungry, you know. I'm trying to think of what was the other thing you said. You said prayer, that we have to know him, and then we have to know how can we do more than what he does, right?
Right.
And then the third was
I'll restate it. I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And so here's the third thing. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in your Son. And he restates that in case we missed it the first time. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yeah, I think because we have so much, you know, ordinarily in our lives, that it's very hard for us to learn that we have a need, right? We don't even know what to ask Christ for anymore, because our world is so awash in everything. You know, hope is born out of necessity, right? I mean, you can't hope for an apple that you hold in your hand. And that is, I think that's an essential element of this Lenten time. I mean, I know that we generally have a tendency to look toward Advent as the more hopeful season, right? Mm-hmm. But each one of these seasons is both penitential, but it's in the penance, it's in the absence that hope becomes profound. And I think that in the fasting, in the absence of things, in the giving up of things, we can become more deeply and more deeply in tuned to what exactly it is that Christ would like us to do, what greater things he might be calling us to. But in addition to that, it will awaken in us a recognition of what we lack.
Yes, that awareness of what we lack. I think we have a few more minutes, so we're going to stay with that idea before we go to the next thing. How do we become equipped to do the works of Jesus? That's the goal of a Christian life in general, and in Lent in particular. And I propose that our transforming and renewing of our lives become more like Christ resides in the believer's mind, in his expectations. Our minds are expectations, limits our appropriation of Christ's mandate on our hearts. If we begin with the premise that Christ is truth and the path or the way in life, then we have the courage to follow what he says. But if we limit him in his mind, we start to make these statements more like fortune cookies or maxims or something like that. The mind put a boundary to that which is possible. So that's right. That expectation or their, you know.
Well, when you have everything, you don't have an imagination. Mm-hmm. I mean, so by possessing all material things, you limit God's abundance. Because you can't imagine that you could possibly need more. And Lent really gives us that profound break. It's a profound breach with the surrounding seasons. You know, it calls you out of yourself, the starkness of the season. Lucy, my daughter, was watching part of her confirmation program this morning, and you know, she's sitting here in the bleak midwinter, right, and looking outside, and there's no leaves on the trees, you know, it's just bereft of all color, and on the screen was this glorious tree, you know, on the chartreuse of spring, and you know, that contrast, right? That tree looked more beautiful to her today on a television screen than the real one is probably going to look in the spring, because in the spring, she's going to take it for granted. But right now, when we're stripped of everything, when we are stripped of, you know, all consolation, all hope. I mean, not hope, but all consolation, all, not what is the word I want, not hope, but all, you know, plenitude, you know, all of the things that we have when we are stripped of those things, that is when virtue really comes to the foreground. And in that lack, in that want, is when we really recognize our need for both a savior and our, and the beauty of the graces that flow from that cross, because we're carrying it.
All right, my friends, we will pick up there with the next episode. Till then, Fide Sudracio.